guys. The Altered State Podcast. It's Brandon and John. It's episode number 93.
The big dog. Because in my world, 93 is the big dog.
Yeah, sure.
That's the big one. That's the big one.
That works.
You know, fuck 100. 93 is really, that's where the magic happens.
Boy, that's some intense buildup for...
I mean, I'm saying...
Based on our pre-show discussion, like we have nothing to talk about, and John's like, you know, this is probably gonna be the best ever. This is probably our best one already, I think. Yeah, hands down.
The way I see it, every episode's just been prepped for this one.
That's how you look at it.
And we're gonna crush it. We're gonna knock it out of the park.
Yeah. So we've taken a little time off again because you know we're lazy.
Yeah, it's been I did spend some time with the family.
That's true.
After the movies. You know, vanishing into the void that I did. I needed to spend a weekend with the family.
Understandable.
So, you know, went to Springfield, went to Cassville, went to a Springfield Cardinals game.
Party time.
Watched Bobby Witt Jr. absolutely fucking murder a baseball.
Sweet.
Dude, I saw... So, we are not a sports podcast, but I have to comment here. So, Bobby Witt Jr. is like a stud prospect for the Royals.
Okay.
Springfield Cardinals are playing the Northwest Arkansas. I don't even know their fucking names, but they're the Royals.
That'd be a cool uni,
right? They're the Royals AA affiliate. Okay. So Bobby Witt Jr. is there, and this motherfucker hit a bomb over the foul pole. So like it's 3:30 dead down the line, and at 3:30 it is above the foul pole. So it's what 60 feet in the air probably.
Sure.
This went out of Hammond's field on the fly.
Wow.
So, like, where the wall is, there's another probably 50 to 60 feet of lawn.
Right.
And then there's a big fence to, like, a train yard.
Right.
He hit the train tracks on the fucking fly.
That's impressive.
It was bonkers.
That's crazy.
Like, I was just like, oh, you are definitely already a big league player.
That is.
Playing in a AA league. And it fucking shows.
With that name, though, NASCAR is missing out on something big. I mean, dude.
Bobby Witt Jr. That, would be a stud.
That is a straight NASCAR name if I ever heard one. That should be on the door of like a number 8 car or whatever they do.
You're not wrong.
I'm probably talking some NASCAR blasphemy by throwing out number 8. Don't know who that would be. But
me neither. The only NASCAR I know is Jeff Gordon rocking 24.
That's because Gibby has that hat.
That's exactly why.
That's right.
Well, it's, I don't know. So when we were kids, do you ever know Gibby's dad was a race car driver?
That sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he was in like the amateur circuit to the point that like he used to have the trailers drop off his fucking race car. It was our favorite thing when we were kids.
That's why he has the full like garage
going
on. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. His dad's a mechanic and shit now.
Yes.
But he's a race car driver. And when the trailer would show up, we all as kids got to go and like see the fucking race cars and shit. So his dad's big racing guy, and he was a big Jeff Gordon guy back then in the 90s. So there's a lot of Jeff Gordon 24 shit at the Gibson house when I was growing up. So I know me some Jeff Gordon and his rainbow car, his rainbow 24.
So other than all the sports we're talking, what do you want to chit-chat about, man? Like I said, I don't have a monster list of stuff. I feel like much has happened.
Allow me to regale you then.
Please.
With... an absolutely fantastic piece of content that I enjoyed on Friday night that I'm not sure. You will probably never watch it, even though I'm about to tell you how awesome it is.
Okay.
But you'll get it. It'll be free for you in a few months.
Okay.
Movie night with the family. We did the Disney Premium Access for Cruella.
Okay. I've heard this is great.
Holy shit.
It
is
great.
Fucking tight.
Nice.
It is so good. And I mean, like, yeah, I'm in the bag for Disney shit. Like, there's no two ways around it. No. I am definitely that market. So
you're a Disney guy. I'm a wrestling guy. I don't judge.
Right. So take that for what it is. Mm. But like, holy shit, it was good. Like, I went into it thinking like, really all of the live action Disney remake things have been pretty underwhelming to me. With the exception of Maleficent.
Right.
Was the first one they did. And it was really good. But here's the thing. So Maleficent is, you know, it's the Sleeping Beauty story told from the point of view of the villain. So it's different. Like, you're getting the Disney classic, but it's at least that shift in perspective, right?
Right.
And then they go on to make Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast and Mulan and fucking Jungle Book and Lion King. And each of those certainly has their moments. Some are better than others. But I wouldn't say any of those are, like, awesome. I wouldn't say any of them are better than their animated counterpart.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Sure. But this is a new story.
Right. So coming into this, it was like, but I had the feeling like, ooh, you're going the Maleficent route. Right. You're giving me the Cruella de Vil story. Fucking awesome, dude. Like, really visually, really tight. Like, really beautifully directed. I wish I didn't write down who directed it, but, like, really fantastic direction.
Nice.
Killer cast. The dude who plays Jasper was a fucking hidden gem for me. Like, I was like, oh, damn. Like, fucking great.
Nice.
Emma Stone does great work.
Sure.
But she's fucking... She just chews being a villain, man. Like, just... It was delicious watching her fucking take
Does she kind of... I'm not going to say, you know... Do you think it's Emma Stone when you're watching it? Or are you kind of... Right, that's good. That's what you think. That's
she vanishes into
good,
that
good
role.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the terminology I wanted to use
there. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And the sound... Jesus Christ, the soundtrack had to be... Disney had to make this movie because it was about the most expensive fucking soundtrack I've ever seen. Like, it's Supertramp and the Rolling Stones. Like, the whole movie takes place between, like, 65 and 75.
Okay. And I don't think I knew that, yeah.
And it is
I knew that because it was a young Cruella, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, so it's in England in that time frame, and you are getting, like, English explosion music. Like, but it's fucking really, really tightly woven in. Yeah. So, like, all of the music fits and feels good. But, all right. Like, I know that licensing fee must have set them back a fucking pretty penny.
Right.
Set them back a couple $100.
You know, I'm not going to say I would never watch that one.
You should. You will like it.
I'll be honest. Am I going to seek it out? Probably not. But if it pops up on TV, I would probably watch that.
Well, it'll be on Disney Plus for not premium access by end of the summer, I'm sure.
Tell you what. I have nieces. Next time we need something to watch, I'll go right to that.
Do.
I'll go to that one.
You'll love it.
All right. And I would watch that for sure.
It's kind of like... I would equate it to kind of a family-friendly Joker.
Okay.
As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, I like get that. I know what you mean.
But very much like she gets unhinged in moments that's like genuinely kind of menacing. And still never, like, terrifying, but, like, because she acts so well, there are some moments that are really fucking menacing. But also, like, it's just, it's fun. It's got a bit of a Guy Ritchie feel.
Okay, I like that, yeah.
Like, that real English sensibility to it.
Yeah.
Like, it feels really... It's like there was part of me that was kind of nervous that like going into it, looking at the promo and shit, is it like, is Disney trying to be punk rock? Yeah. You know, kind of like, you're fucking Disney. Like, yeah.
This is our indie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they definitely were. But it didn't feel wrong.
It wasn't like a forced feeling.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, that character actually is pretty punk rock. And like that era... That era of UK, like, it fit. That it, you know, there was part of it that was like, oh, are you just trying to fucking never mind the bollocks me and, like, act like, ah, ha, ha, we're cool, we're Disney. Like, hello, fellow youths. Yeah, like, some shit like that.
Disney oi.
Right.
Yeah. I'd watch Disney oi. I could watch, that's a lot of good stuff.
This is kind of Disney oi.
All right.
But it works. Like I said, like, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel out of place. But a really fucking fun watch, man.
Cool. I will definitely, honestly, I would check that out.
Yeah.
If I had the audience with me.
Right. And like for sure, when it becomes free on Disney Plus, which I'm sure will be August.
Right.
Like you'll have fun with it.
We have a family vacation in a few weeks. Maybe we pop it on, and I got no problem throwing $20 towards something like that for the kids. So
yeah, you'll all love. And
if
if we
get a rainy day, here, that's on.
Yeah.
It's in.
And like my kids. At 5 years old, I was a little worried, like, ooh, is this going to be a little much for them? Because, like, it's family friendly, but they're, sure. like, five's still pretty fucking young.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Yeah. Like, it was, but it was cool without being, it was cool without being in any way inappropriate.
Okay.
You know, like, it's rated PG-13, and I still don't quite know why.
Just for maybe the scary version of it?
I guess, but it's like, there's no language in it. And, like, yeah, some characters die and have some fucking menacing themes, but, like, they're not brutal deaths. You know, it's like the, she fell from a cliff. Right. But you don't, like, see a body on the fucking ground or anything. Like, right. You see a person fall off the edge of a screen, right. and they're just right. gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that, it definitely, like, we got to the end and I was like, that's definitely, like, who the fuck made this PG-13?
Right.
Because, like, I want to know. When... All right, so, yeah, like, I don't know. Who was so uptight that they were...
It's the same person that made all those 80s movies PG when they probably should have been PG-13 or R even. Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
PG... All right. Yeah, sorry. We're having some technical difficulties. So if we're repeating ourselves...
We're doing fine. You're... No, you're fine.
John is fucking...
You're fine. You're fine. Again. I'm fucking with you.
But yeah, like the PG-13 didn't exist back then, man.
I always forget that. I do always forget that because there's so...
Boobs. Yeah.
Anyways.
So, like, I don't know what, when did PG-13 come to exist? What is the first PG-13 movie?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't even know.
What would you take your guess at?
That when it, the first PG-13 movie?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, man.
All right, we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep plugging away
at
this.
It's all good.
We got this new soundboard that I am stoked on, but I just don't know how it works yet, my guy.
We'll figure it out. We're not to 100 yet. Once we get to 100, that's when you get professional.
By the time we get to 100,
that's professional.
We've really got to pick it up a notch.
So what we're saying, first PG-13 movie.
First PG-13 movie is 1984. So I'll give you the time frame. Oh,
man. I really don't have a guess. You know what? I'm going to... What was that John Belushi war movie? What was that John Belushi war movie? It wasn't same guy who did Animal House.
It's not it's a Patrick Swayze war movie.
Oh, Patrick Swayze war movie. Red Dawn?
Yep.
Really? That's the first PG-13 movie?
Red Dawn is the first PG-13 movie.
Wow. First off, that's pretty impressive. I knew that quick, right? Come on. And you know what? I'm thinking about that. It's probably just because of the violence.
And, well, do you know what? More in our wheelhouse.
Yes.
The PG-13 rating was created because of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Really?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was PG.
And they ripped a guy's heart out.
And parents were outraged that it was PG.
Sure.
But it certainly wasn't R.
Right.
So they created the PG-13 rating after the outrage of... Temple of Doom.
Way to go, Indy.
And Red Dawn was the first movie to be released with that.
You know, that's funny because, have you ever seen Red Dawn, the original one?
No.
You've seen the cast in that?
I saw that Patrick Swayze's in it.
Pull up Red Dawn and you will know.
Swayze the ass man himself.
Yes, they did a reboot of it a few years back with Thor, I think, right?
Yes, I did. I do remember seeing trailers for that. So it's Swayze, Charlie Sheen, C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Jennifer Grey, Ben Johnson, Henry Dean Stanton, Ron O'Neill, William Smith, and Powers Booth.
Pretty quality cast for 1984 kids movie. Because they're basically teenagers. Patrick Swayze looks a little older than a teenager, but the rest of them are all teenagers.
Yeah.
Cuba, or the Russians invade... You know, because they live in somewhere on the border of Canada, I believe it was.
It's invaded by Soviet Union and it's Cuban and Nicaraguan allies.
Yes, that's what it was. And they're just high school kids fighting back. Their team mascot was the Wolverines, so they're the Wolverines.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Budget, $17 million. Return, $38 million.
That seems lower than I would have thought. I would have guessed.
84 though, man. $38 million in 1984. Yeah,
that's big.
Like, yeah, because it only cost $17 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in 1984 dollars, that's You got to triple that. Like, that's a $100 million movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And P. Swayze was big, but he wasn't Dirty Dancing
big. He wasn't Roadhouse big yet.
Right. They just come off
showing off that ass in Roadhouse.
What's the
all goddamn day.
The movie with him and C. Thomas Howell and Ralph Macchio and The Outsiders. They had just done The Outsiders. That's kind of... So the next was this kind of upward momentum.
The Outsiders is so tight.
Outsiders is a great movie. It's a fun movie, dude.
It's a great fucking real fun book. Movie.
That's what I was thinking about the PG-13 stuff. I'm like, we need to do like PG movies that definitely should have been PG-13 had there been the PG-13 rating.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. It's pretty number much one.
Every 80s movie ever. Because, you know, at some point in the PG movie, someone drops an F-bomb and there's boobs.
Yeah.
Which, or smokes a cigarette, which nowadays is automatic PG-13.
Oh, shit. So. Now it's like, you can't, it's not even PG-13. You just can't do it.
That's right. It's like E.T. with no guns. It just ain't happening.
It's funny. I was listening to... Of course I was listening to Welcome to the OC, Bitches, the OC Watch Along podcast that has been launched about a month and a half ago. I'm enjoying the shit out of it, as I should. But in the pilot episode, Ryan Atwood smokes a cigarette at the at the end of the driveway. And during like the commentary podcast, they were talking about how like that was the last cigarette that will ever be smoked on network television.
So funny.
And how hard they had to fight for that scene.
So jacked
to the
up.
Point that like...
so dumb. I mean, I get it on one level, but...
Right. But like they made it such a big... Because like it's a huge moment for that character. But they're like to get it in there, they had to allow... Like it follows up with like the Sandy Cohen character catching him and like... Really ripping him apart,
right.
Really making a whole scene about how bad smoking is.
Yep.
And then it's such a crucial scene in that, like, it really is really fucking important. And it looks beautiful, like it's really well made. And they wanted to use it in the promos, and they edited out the cigarette in the promos because it was on Fox.
So
they were talking about how, like, no doubt in anyone's mind, that will be the last. True cigarette smoked on network television.
Yep, I don't get ever. It. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, network television is going to be dead in 10 years anyway.
Yeah, probably. They keep... who knows? I don't know.
Well, it's also like... I think it's time for that to change. Like, there's also... So, if you think about Pilot of the OC, we're talking 2003.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of young smokers. Like, teenage smoking, and smoking in general... is still a real problem at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not so much now.
Right.
Like, that fight's kind of been won.
Agreed.
Like, you kind of did it. Like, sure, some people still smoke, but not the way when we were kids or even before then.
Yep.
So we're like, now, if someone's smoking on a teen soap, I don't think anyone's like, oh, fucking cool.
I gotta get
one of those. Yeah. You know, like, I don't think that...
I'm with you.
But I also think you won't see it because... people aren't smokers, so that's just not the I imagine if I were a teenager, if I'm 15 years old and I'm watching today's equivalent of the OC and I see someone smoking, I'm like, ew, what the fuck?
Well, no, but if
you're a fucking loser,
if like, you see that weirdo. You know, here's the thing, you're not going to see it because most of those things are filmed indoors where it's not even allowed anyway, so that's how they get around a lot of the, you know, if their character would happen to be a smoker, you don't even know it because they're never outside to watch them.
Right.
So,
anyway. But it was like, when
especially if it's in California, you're not allowed to smoke anywhere in California. Right. So,
well, even, you know, like I said, 2003, I'm in high school. And at that point, I was like, and my entire group of friends, including like the acquaintances that I would just meet at a party, of all of the guys that I hung out with, let's say it's a group of 20, 25 guys, I was one of two or three that were non-smokers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that was normal.
You know, like it was
weird for me to be a non-smoker.
Right. I agree.
Now that is completely flipped.
Right.
So like for me in 2003, seeing a teenager smoke is like, oh yeah, this dude parties. Like, I get it. Like, I know this guy. But like a teenager now seeing a teenager smoke, it wouldn't have that same effect.
Right.
It'd just be like, it would just be weird.
Right. Right. Because I guarantee... I'm almost 100%. When I watched 90210, Luke Perry was smoking.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was fucking cool as shit.
Dude, I have had this conversation a number of times. Like, I am the guy that Dare just didn't work for at all, because I still to this day think smoking cigarettes is the coolest looking thing on earth.
It looks pretty cool.
Like, I wish I was a smoker.
Me too.
My dad was a pack and a half a day smoker. I've always had like bronchitis and issues because my dad smoked in the house and shit all the time.
Right.
So smoking's just always been gross to me. But when I was in high school, I tried to be a smoker. Like, I wanted to be a smoker. Sure.
You were in a band.
And my body just didn't allow me to.
Yeah.
And I'm still a little bit bummed about it, because I still think cigarettes are fucking cool.
Well, it was part of the uniform for a Generation X kid. You just had to do it. I had to do it at least for a little while.
Right.
I always had a pack somewhere. Half the time, I'm not going to lie, they went stale. Like, I was smoke a cigarette when you go out with friends type guy.
Right.
That's about it. Everybody's going out for a cigarette? Sure, I'll have one.
Of course.
That's about it. That's about it.
See, but now it's weed, so...
Right. So now it's like, oh, Brandon always has weed. So now they know I get followed outside. Anyways.
Weed man.
We're skipping. I wanted to get to this before I forget, because this is one thing I think we can talk about forever. I'm not sure if you're going to like it or not.
Uh-oh.
But I think you might, because I think it could be done very well.
Okay.
Do you know Amazon? I don't know if it's a movie or a series. The Val Kilmer story.
Really?
Yep. And Val Kilmer's signed on to...
What do you mean you think I would? I am fucking here for this all goddamn day.
Because it's early in his career. He's still got a lot of life left, I feel like.
Does he, though? Did you see Jay and Bob reboot?
Yes, but...
My man looked like shit.
I mean, as far as... He's not kicking the bucket like a De Niro or a Pacino in the next 10 years.
He's also not working like a De Niro or a Pacino.
I get that, but you know
what I'm saying. Val Kilmer is at the stage of his career that he's doing a cameo in a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
And I love Kevin Smith. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's be very real about...
Well, he's a painter now.
Oh. Him and Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's pretty good, actually.
Fuck yeah, he is.
Anyways. I don't know who's acting in it. I don't know... But think about, we've talked about this before, obviously, because the Batman stuff, but we've never really done a deep dive on Val Kilmer. We've talked about, of course, Tombstone, he's fantastic, and, Jim Morrison, he's fucking amazing, and...
Top Gun.
He's iconic roles.
Yeah. MacGruber.
Fucking A, man. Dude, he is hilarious in MacGruber.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He is hilarious
in MacGruber. He's goddamn great.
Well, some of it's over the top, but it's MacGruber. But it's quality.
But it works.
Real Genius is one of my favorite 80s movies of all time.
Real Genius is fucking great.
And it's a funny movie.
It holds up.
It really does hold up.
And it holds up.
There's not for an 80s movie, there's not a whole lot of the uncomfortable gay jokes that a lot of 80s movies just was built into.
It was part of it.
Like I watched, what was on the other day? Revenge of the Nerds.
Oof. Aged very poorly.
On all kinds of levels. You know what I mean?
That's just objectively. Well, that's one of those movies that you look back and go, oh, man.
Right.
I'm a little disappointed in myself for finding that funny. Like, there's some of it that's just like, yeah, it's the time and place. It doesn't work anymore.
It is.
That's one that even is like, there really isn't a point that some of this should have been okay. Right.
Well, because, when you think about that movie as a whole, you're like, oh, it's just the jocks against the nerds.
Yeah.
But
the nerds are real pieces of shit in that movie, man.
They were too. Yeah, I mean, they go on the panty raid.
Everyone's a real piece of shit in that movie.
The jocks and the nerds are all rapists and sexual offenders. Horrible people. I mean, at the end, the one nerd puts on the jock's helmet and convinces the other chick to bang him.
Yeah.
That's rape.
I don't care. That's fucked up.
I don't care what decade. That was rape in the 80s.
That is rape.
But he did a good job, so all was forgiven, I guess. So
that's very weird.
That's what I took from Nerds. And that one guy, Anthony Edwards, became a doctor. So it all worked out. So the Val Kilmer story, I think could be pretty badass. I mean, I love Val Kilmer.
How much
time is designated to Batman?
I hope an entire episode.
Let's say it's a 2-hour movie. How much time do you think gets designated just to Batman?
An hour, 12 minutes?
I thought you'd say that. Yep.
Like that. That's what I want.
I know.
Because how do you fill Michael Keaton's shoes? Speaking of, I want the Michael Keaton story. That's the fucking movie I want.
Me too.
Like to go from a straight fucking club comedian.
Yep.
To becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Not even a club comedian. He worked on the Mr. Rogers Show.
I need his story. Yes. I need his story.
He worked on the Mr. Rogers Show at PBS as like a stagehand, and they did like little skits every now and then. He was like one of the Italian guys who just did like random jumping. It was, you know, the Bellini brothers, something like that. It's kind of silly. That's where you got to start, was on Mr. Rogers.
Oh, man. Michael Keaton, you American treasure. Well, wasn't he, what was the, why can't I think of it? The really important comedy club in L.A. that tons of people had their start, that Letterman had his start at and shit.
Was that the Comedy Store?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we watched that special.
Oh, sure.
He
yeah.
was in that.
That's right.
He did Comedy Store shit.
Yes, of course. I forgot about that. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. I think that's where he got noticed as far as then he started putting him in movies and shit like that.
And then Beetlejuice.
Right.
And then Batman. Beetlejuice was before Batman.
Beetlejuice was before Batman. Even before that, you got
Mr. Mom. And, oh, I mean, what a fucking gem.
I loved Gung Ho.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you ever saw, it was like his first serious type movie. I think it was called Clean and Sober. He kind of played like a cop who got all fucked up on drugs, undercover kind of thing. But it was a fucking badass.
Okay.
Kind of action-y, 80s gritty.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a fun movie. Fucking, yeah.
He even made Jack Frost kind of cool.
Kind of like, cool. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, like, yeah. if we're talking, like, shitty family movies.
It wasn't cool. It was chilly.
Zing.
You like that one? Yeah. That's a George Carlin.
But it was one like, even that, like a weird, cheesy family movie,
yeah.
he made watchable. That movie shouldn't be watchable.
Right.
He made it entertaining.
Yeah.
He made it harmless fun.
Yeah. And I don't know what kind of movie this is, if it's just a straight bio, or is it a bio, like a Freddie Mercury kind of thing, yeah. whatever they call that, like where they...
biopic?
Who plays Val Kilmer? No one has that look.
Yeah, you're right.
Especially his 80s look. It was very distinct.
Timothée Chalamet. Or as my wife would have me got, Timothée Chalamet. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking asshole.
I could see that. I could see that.
I could see Timothée Chalamet pulling off Val Kilmer.
Is he too old?
No.
To play like a young 80s Val Kilmer?
No.
How old is he? He's in his 30s, right?
No.
Oh, is he still in his 20s?
He's like young 20s. Okay. I bet Timothée Chalamet's fucking 23.
Okay.
Would
okay.
be my
Maybe.
Guess.
Maybe. Okay, you're probably right. You're probably right.
He's
I can
kid.
See that. I can see that. I can see that. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But this
is going to be Timothée Chalamet coming off that Dune money. That motherfucker's going to be commanding some
Yeah,
some
I don't know if he's going right to a Netflix or to an Amazon biopic after
right.
Dune. You know,
no.
that's a hard left, I feel like.
I'm so pumped for Dune.
What else did I have on here I want to get at? Ooh. Two random things. I didn't see any... who's going to be in it, who's any of that kind of shit. Netflix is doing a Die Hard TV series.
What?
And...
we don't need that.
And...
that's a waste of your money, Netflix.
I think it's Netflix.
Fuck you, Netflix.
No, I think it was Amazon who's doing the early Willy Wonka years.
I did see that. That actually is Timothée Chalamet.
Yes, that's right.
Is playing young Wonka.
Yes. That could be very cool, I think.
I agree.
And I think that was supposed to be a series, like a limited series
yes,
run. Like
I
a
think so.
Six-parter kind of thing. Which
yeah.
I think is perfect.
I think that'll
like that.
Be cool.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun watch.
Because I think it was Amazon, and Amazon also did, was the Omen one? The Omens. We want, what the hell was that called? With Doctor Who and, you know what I'm talking about. It's like a year or two old now. Oh my God.
Oh, Good Omens.
Good Omens, thank you.
Yeah, the Neil Gaiman book.
Yes. I feel like it could look a little something like,
yeah.
shot like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
Just because, you know, Willy Wonka is a little... scary,
mm-hmm.
gritty. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna say it's gonna be.
Willy Wonka is the scary, the most scared I've ever. Did I ever tell you about my Willy Wonka?
No, you haven't. Tell me about your Willy Wonka. But please go right ahead. Lights.
So when I was a kid, we had Willy Wonka and Ghostbusters recorded on the same VHS.
Okay.
Because as you recall. Being a child of the 80s, that's what us poor people did. We recorded on the recorded on the VCR. So anytime I wanted to watch Ghostbusters, my sister got to watch Willy Wonka. And naturally, I wanted to watch Ghostbusters every fucking day. Because I stand by the fact that it is the perfect movie. So we always had to watch Willy Wonka. And that movie scared the life out. Like, And it blew me. I still don't understand why it didn't scare every other child. Maybe it's because I was a fat kid.
Just the boat scene or just in general?
All of it.
Yeah.
The entire concept
yeah.
is kids getting killed by candy.
It is. It is.
By a fucking creepy ass guy.
Let me ask you this too. Because I've always made the argument that Augustus did nothing wrong. 10 minutes later, before he goes in the room, he is told by Mr. Willy Wonka, everything in this room is edible. Anything you see, you can eat.
You're not wrong.
And then the motherfucker's yelling at him for taking a sip out of the water. I mean, right. come on.
It's all, like, yeah, were the kids brats? Of course
yes,
they were.
Yes, they were.
But that's not a death sentence.
That's right. Not in that room.
No.
Not when you were just told.
No. Like
he just told a fat kid he can eat anything he sees.
Right.
What's he expect?
I'm telling you, that movie scared the life out of me.
Gene
Wilder?
I was still a kid when that came out, obviously. I mean, that came out before I was even born. It came out, like, what, 77, 78, probably somewhere in there. I was born in 78.
I'm not watching it until 93.
Sure, yeah. And I didn't watch it, obviously, until probably the mid-80s or something like that. But it was, I'm not going to say the boat scene, I remember that scared me a little bit. But then, like, Slugworth was always supposed to make you scared or whatever. I remember that scared me. Mm-hmm. But I always remember, I think the grandparents made me upset because they couldn't.
All four of them in the same bed?
Yes.
Really, like, fucking weird?
Like just a bunch of crippled people in a bed.
Just old derelicts?
Yes. And the mom's cooking soup or she's cleaning. I'm not sure what she's doing over there. Either clothes or stew.
A little bit of both.
You know, that was, I think, probably.
Old clothes broth.
That, now that I think about it, that may have been my first exposure. Other than Benny Hill, to like English culture.
Yeah.
Fucking Willy Wonka. I mean, I can't think of anything else before that I would have seen. Eh, I guess a lot of Disney stuff was kind of Englishy.
But
it wasn't English.
Fantasy.
It was. English-y, Mary Poppins was, but it wasn't really,
yeah.
you know. But I don't know if I saw Mary Poppins. I could not tell you a time I sat down and watched Mary Poppins.
Really?
Yeah, I really couldn't. Really couldn't.
We were always more of
you got to remember, it wasn't, you know, cable wasn't
right.
big until I was a little bit. Well, I mean, we had it, but it, you know, and then Disney wasn't putting stuff on cable anyway. And then they were always vaulting their shit.
Right.
So unless you bought it, and I was a boy, so no one went out and bought me Cinderella.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time I've sat down and watched Cinderella or a lot of that stuff. Any of the princess movies, probably.
Oh, that's part of being raised with sisters that I really was exposed to all of it. But then again, like me and Gibson went to see Mulan in theaters, just the two of us.
That does not surprise me one bit.
And when did that come out? We were probably...
Oh, the live-action version is what I heard.
We were probably 10 or 11 years old. Like, old enough that I remember it, and old enough that, like, we went. Like, our parents dropped us off.
Right.
And I guess that movie probably came out in 98.
Remember those days?
Yeah.
Would you ever drop your kids off at 10?
God.
To go to a movie? I'd still be, like, nervous at 15.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, I...
That was all we did.
Right.
Was from age 10 until I could drive.
Right. Or taking my bike to the park.
Yeah, my parents would drop me off at either the mall or the movie theater at 7 o'clock at night. Right. And someone, whichever parent from whichever kid drew the short straw, was showing up at 11:30 at night to come get us.
That's right. Yep.
Which is, it's fucking crazy to think about now. Just dropping my kids off at a place for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Being like, here's $5. Don't get arrested.
Right? Yeah. That would have been a better way to walk. Just drop the kids off. Like, the parents shouldn't have allowed to come in.
Right.
All that. They ruined everything.
It would have been age appropriate.
The kids would have listened better without their asshole parents there.
Probably.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
Ask any daycare. You get that one lady, you get one Oompa Loompa, the kids are going to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
They're going to, what the
they're
hell?
They're going to toe that line, motherfucker. Yeah.
That's the last kid who talked back. The orange motherfucker in the corner.
Yeah.
Last week... Or last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't think we talked about this. I think we chatted about it maybe at the bar when we briefly saw each other for a game. Army of the Dead.
Oh.
Did you watch? You
I
watched.
Have not yet. I
had a fun time with
I've heard from a number of people that I've got to dive in.
You should.
Because it will be fun.
It's very fun. It's a fun ride.
And Libby is really dig zombies.
And she'd love this.
So it's one that, like, I know Libby and I can sit down and really enjoy together.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you dug, like, some of the, like, Dawn of the Dead type stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Then you will love this.
Yeah.
Shot, you know, it's shot really cool. Batista's pretty cool in it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a huge fan of his.
Uh-huh.
He kicks ass in this. He's not a bad little actor. Big actor,
you,
whatever.
You know what's crazy to me with Batista? So like, I'm sure you saw there was all this shit. So I'm going to derail this because it just blew my mind. And maybe it won't blow your mind because you're a wrestling guy. Mm-hmm. So Batista's talking about how like Guardians 3 is the last time he's going to be Drax.
Sure.
And he said, he was like, and more, he was like, I love the character, but like, I'm fucking 50. Like, getting in shape to be Drax is just like,
it's too hard.
I can't fucking do it at 50 years old anymore. And to hear him say he's 50 is like, motherfucker, you just came out of nowhere. Like, how are you 50?
He got into it a little later.
Well, it's, I feel like he'd, even, you know,
but he also wrestled for probably 15 years.
That's what I'm wondering. Because, well, like, I haven't been a wrestling guy for a long time. Yeah. But, like, I knew who John Cena was when he was, like, the big names that are kind of ubiquitous. I knew those names. I never knew the name Batista until he was cast
As Drax.
Yeah. So in my head, I was like, oh, he must have been like kind of a new wrestler that's transitioning over. In my head, when he like played Drax the first time, this dude was like 30. And now to find out that 7 years later, he's 50, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This dude was 40 when he got cast as Drax?
Sure.
Like, holy shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I knew he was getting that old, but, you know, now that I think about it, you know, because it says here, I did a quick look up to make sure. He started in WWE alone in 2002.
So it was 19 years ago?
Yeah.
Right, so he's, I mean, to start in WWE after 30, like, even that,
right?
Like, fuck, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he had a late start. Like, yeah, late start as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit, like, that's a young man's game, dude. Yep. Like, you can't put your body through that shit starting at 30 and expect a long career.
Now, I'm pretty sure he was a wrestler other places, just not WWE. You know what I mean? I'm sure he was working on things and things like that. So, yeah, he began his wrestling career in 99. But he signed with WWE in 2000 and then never became anybody until 2002.
Even still, starting at 99, that's
still up there.
29.
Yeah.
Like, to be 29 and say, you know what? I want to be a professional wrestler now.
Right.
Like, whoa, man.
Yeah, and there's not much else in here as far as other things he did, like, before that. So I don't know what the fuck he was doing early in his life.
Right. I feel like...
working out.
Guardians put him on the map, though, because he's gotten a lot of opportunities since then. And
yeah. Like,
and I don't think he's been bad in anything I've seen him in.
I agree. He's never, you know, like, ruined anything.
I saw a few minutes of that. The one they did with the kid, the spy movie with the kid.
Oh, sure.
That was released on Amazon. That was one, like, Libby and I were like, oh, we don't know what to do. We watched like 10 or 15 minutes of it before being like, ah, we're not in the mood. And in those 10 or 15 minutes, he wasn't bad by any means. I see this working.
Yep. Same experience with that Kumail Nanjiani movie, the Uber driver one.
Yeah.
I watched like 15, 20 minutes of it and I had fun with it, but it didn't. I'm not like, oh, I'm going to.
Yeah.
This is my favorite movie. It's supposed to be a, you know, little fun trip, and I'm sure it is. I had a good little time with it.
Yeah,
but it also felt like one of those movies where it's the same jokes.
Yeah,
every half hour. You know what I'm saying? Because this, you know, big guy, and Kumail wasn't a big guy at that point.
Shit,
couldn't do this movie anymore. But
did you see the fucking picture of Kumail today?
I did. Oh, today? No, I didn't see
it. There's another one that was this weekend.
Okay, and I haven't seen the newest one.
Jesus Christ, man! Like, still
just getting jacked.
Right, but I'm like, bro, Eternals has been done filmed for like a year. Like, this is just you now.
He's got a whole new career now.
Right?
Like, it's all different.
Like, he looks like a fucking beast.
Think he's juicing it?
I don't see why he wouldn't be.
If you're an actor, why wouldn't you? Really? No one's going to tell you not to. I mean,
If I were an actor and I had a doctor tell me this isn't going to fuck up your body forever. Like, that's the difference.
Right.
So it's like, if you're like, yeah, looking this way isn't worth it if it's going to shave 15 years off my life. Or if it's going to make me fucking impotent or all this other shit. But like, if it's, man, if I can do this and it's going to allow me to get roles that's going to make me like $10 or $15 million more per picture.
That's right.
And I get to look like a fucking superhero.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Doc, shoot me the fuck up.
That's right. Which ass cheek you need.
Right.
Yep. What else do I have to chat about? What else you got to chat about? What do you want to get?
So this, you haven't jumped in on the Bad Batch, have you?
I have. I'm still stuck on the first. I finished the first episode, but I haven't got any deeper.
I have so deeply loved watching
the Bad Batch. I did see a thing where they referenced Jedi.
Yes.
In the last one. Or
That was the last one.
I didn't see what it was or any of that, but I saw they referenced Jedi and fans are losing their shit type thing.
It's not really a spoiler. Is it? You want me to talk about it?
I got no problem.
Yeah, okay, it's not really a story spoiler. It's kind of an Easter egg spoiler. It's fun. This was kind of an adventure of the week episode. Like they want intel on the last week's episode. Fennec Shand showed up. Ming-Na Wen's character, okay, the bounty hunter from The Mandalorian.
Okay,
she showed up. There's a bounty for the kid that they're with. So this episode, they're going to an old one of the Jedi's old informants from the war, trying to see if they can find out who hired Fennec Shand. So when they go, you know, the informant's like, all right, you know, I'll figure it out, but you got to do a job for me. You know, so it's kind of like an Adventure of the Week type episode.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to go rescue this kid from these slavers. So they go rescue, and it's a child's aged Rancor.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, cool. So it's like you're playing with a little kid Rancor. And then, you know, naturally they rescue it. And then at the end, the guy comes to collect the Rancor, and it's Bib Fortuna. So it is the Rancor from Jedi, but it's like, that's cool.
I like that Easter egg. Yeah,
it's a fun tie-in. It doesn't advance the plot at all, but it's just like, it was cool enough to see a kid Rancor. Like, that's tight. Like, it was cool character design. I like that. It was cool. It was cool to see a little bit more, but then to see like Bib Fortuna walk in, it was like, fucking A, cool, man.
That's cool. I do like that. I like that.
Yeah, and it's all just like little shit like that. Like that show is going to. I was so late to the Clone Wars cartoon and ended up just falling in love with it that like I just can already feel how much this just like enriches that universe in a way that I'm so excited for. Like, I love seeing Star Wars content come out that like advances the plot.
Right.
You know, like I feel like I we've talked it to death how the sequel trilogy was just kind of aimless. Certainly fun to watch at times, but just doesn't do anything to advance the plot.
Right.
It very much is a money grab.
Yeah.
But now that it's over, it seems like Disney has really figured out what they want and what they can do with the property. And, you know, now they've given Filoni the Feige seat.
Right.
Officially, as of last week. Like, now Filoni is that overarching guy that is guiding the narrative. And that's what Star Wars so desperately needed. So it's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only one episode in, so I can't comment on too much, but I'm just happy that Star Wars content is constant.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, some of it's not going to be good, some of it's going to be great, some of it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm here for all of it. That's, you know, so. Right.
Dude, I am so excited for that Acolyte TV show.
Yeah.
Like, you want to give me some Old Republic shit? Like,
that's very cool.
That's such a deep well of cool content that we haven't really gotten great stories out of yet.
That's the next untapped.
Right. And like, give me fucking young Yoda.
Right. I wonder if they're going to kind of see how, like, the Game of Thrones shit does. You know, let's go 2,000 years earlier.
Yeah.
And if that takes off, like, well, we got a 2,000 year earlier story for you, but Star Wars. And blow the whole thing up.
There's part of me that feels like that's been their plan all along.
I think so.
Because I look at, like, so, like, they've done a wonderful job with Mandalorian. But I feel like the biggest thing to come out of Mandalorian is Grogu, is the child, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like what you're really setting up there is the idea of that species having an adolescence.
Okay.
So that now we've set that up. Oh, we're going to do the Acolyte? Oh, fucking, here's a backdoor to actually everyone's favorite Jedi being a fucking young adult.
Young adult, right.
And like, so now you're going to see this species in this whole different life. Like, I feel like that's the...
You're going to see Yoda fuck. Yeah.
Boy. But I feel like you're going to see... I just feel like that's the logical place to go. Like, give me some depth into the old Jedi Order and the old Sith Order. Like... Dive me into that dogma.
Sure.
Like, let me really tap that fucking mythology in some new and neat ways. And I think that's what they're building.
I agree. Agree 100%. Yep. And I'm excited for all of it. It's going to be sweet.
Fuck yeah.
It's going to be sweet stuff.
I booked my Disneyland tickets today.
Nice.
So I'm thinking, I am in Batuu in my mind already. I can't wait.
That's going to be pretty sweet. I'm jealous. I'm jealous on that one. You know what tickets I got? Newfound Glory.
Oh, did you get a ticket?
I got tickets for us.
Nice.
Yep. We're all set. We're all set.
Fuck yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
How much do I owe you for that?
We'll figure it out day of.
Shit. Yeah, I got to tell Libby that I got a ticket for that.
Yep. Yeah, September whatever. I'll send you the
23rd or something?
That sounds right. Yep. It's like a Thursday.
Fucking like a Thursday right,
night.
Dude.
Thursday night in Chesterfield, Mo.
God.
A new spot should be cool. I'm excited to go see the new spot.
Going to a show again, I'm so...
So much stuff has been coming out.
I'm so amped on.
And I'm like, I want to go to all of it. Like, I got to... Like, I know I don't really want to go see Dashboard Confessional Acoustics. Like, I do, but at the same time, I'm just dying to get out and see someone play. And then when that popped up, like, I'm doing that for sure. Because I'd go to Newfound Glory anytime they came through. Too. And just, that's going to be my first show back. I'm definitely, unless something else pops up
Do you want to do, June 26th, Dirty Birds hosting a punk rock pig roast.
Yes, I do. I saw that.
And let's go to that.
Yes, 100%.
Did you see the drum kit? This is a conversation.
It's all right.
We'll talk about it later.
Building a sweet drum kit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, I did, by the way, yes. I'm excited. You know, I'm still excited. Shows are back.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, one of my favorite pop punk bands of all time.
Still at
it. Still going to be doing it, man. And I know it's going to be an exciting show.
They're going to fucking rip it.
Yep. And Simple Plan. Simple Plan's a badass band too.
God.
You know, so, you know.
It's so funny.
It's funny stuff. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun set.
You know what wasn't fun?
Huh.
Well, it's kind of fun. Made me laugh. Did you see the new Fast and Furious trailer?
No, Brandon. I did not.
You know what it reassured me of? That my Vin Diesel impression is pretty fucking spot on. I swear, he mumbles through the whole fucking thing. You hear, blah, 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 family, blah, 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 my brother. You know, it's ridiculous. I can't believe how someone would watch this. And trailers usually...
People go nuts for it. It's not just the people watch them.
I didn't get... It just, you know, it showed pictures of all the people and... I don't know, man. It's...
Yeah, but people don't get the shit that we like either. I accept
fucking
it.
Vin Diesel.
Did you watch SNL?
I did, yes.
the Vin Diesel AMC.
How great was that? Made me laugh my ass off.
The whole time I was watching, I was like, oh, that's so fucking Brandon.
Yep. It's perfect. It was a great impression.
This is a sketch for Brandon.
Yep. When we are done, you're going to listen to a couple seconds of the Fast and Furious trailer, and you're going to be like,
wait,
did you overdub that? Because that sounds like you talking.
I'll find out.
And that's movie quality Vin Diesel right there talking.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyways, big movie star, made millions. Good for him.
Mike texted me like a week ago. Now I want to pull it up. He texted me a screenshot of... Fuck. Where is it at?
Is it a Vin Diesel reference?
Yeah. Fuck.
Oh my God, did you see...
But it was a thing of his Instagram page. It was like a screenshot of his Instagram page. And it was like... This motherfucker really has, you know, 7 million followers or whatever the asinine number was.
Yep.
And I was just like, God damn.
I don't know how or why or who wants it. I forget. I didn't click on it because it was involving Vin Diesel. I'm not giving them satisfaction.
You're not giving them your clicks.
That's right. Somebody wants to do a Fast and the Furious Jurassic World universe collaboration.
Sure.
That means Vin Diesel's going to fight fucking T-Rex in a car.
Kill me. Kill me, Brandon.
This is the world.
End it.
You're raising your children in.
Take me out mercifully. I am not long for this world. If we're in a world where that gets a $150 million budget, just take me out to pasture, because clearly the world has passed me by.
Yeah.
If that's what we're spending $150 million on. That said, I can't imagine that happens.
No.
I mean...
See, you just did. You know, in this world, someone would do that.
And people are desperate for franchises and money. But still, man, like... But then again...
You yourself have said, those Fast and Furious fans will go see it regardless.
Yep.
Do you think it's still, you know, Vin Diesel gets dropped on, you know, Dino Island.
And that's your backdoor to get Chris Pratt in that universe.
Absolutely right.
And he sells. He puts butts in seats, yep, for better or worse.
Now, having said that, if The Rock's in it, I'll watch him take on a T-Rex. I'm kidding. I wouldn't. That's ridiculous, too.
Yeah, you would.
I probably would. But, you know, not if Vin Diesel's going to help him. Because The Rock wouldn't need help in real life.
I'm still... the thing is, I can't talk that much shit because I am still in the bag for Jurassic Park shit.
I do. And I love Jurassic Park stuff, so yeah.
The thing is,
yeah,
like, it's... So Jurassic Park is up there with Ghostbusters. Like, the original Jurassic Park is a damn near perfect movie.
It is. It's a great movie.
It is a fucking... Like, yeah. I have zero gripes with that movie. There is no nit to pick with Jurassic Park. Every other movie that's been a sequel of that has been okay at best.
Sure.
Like, Jurassic Park 2, it was fine.
Yeah.
3 was horrible. Jurassic World 1, okay.
Is that for Pratt's
first? Yeah, Pratt's first one? Enjoy that one. Okay, yeah. Not a bad movie.
Yep.
And then the next one, oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Although the last one did have, like, that just goddamn heartbreaking moment when they were leaving the island as it's exploding and the one single dinosaur didn't make it to the boat.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
As the fire over, it's fucking haunting. It's like, why do I care so much about the CGI dinosaur? But goddamn you, Universal, you didn't need to do me this dirty.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Hurts.
That's funny. That's funny. The first one aside, I enjoyed. I loved. The rest of them have all just been whatever to me.
Right.
I really...
The rest of them have been, at best, okay.
And they all kind of blend together. I don't really know, you know... I've watched them all. I know that. But...
Yeah.
The one where they come into the city, to me, is the same fucking one that Chris Pratt was just... You know, it really all blends together.
The only thing that makes Jurassic Park 2, where there's the T-Rex in San Diego, the only thing that makes that movie good is it's starring... fucking Goldblum.
Yeah.
And he crushes.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn's really good in it. Was that Jodie Foster? Is she the chick in that?
It wasn't Jodie Foster. It was, what's her name from Boogie Nights?
The other redhead of that era.
I can't think of her name.
And the girl that played Goldblum's daughter was a well-acted movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the dinosaur in the T-Rex in San Diego was, like, the gimmick. But really, the movie leading up to it, not bad.
That's fair.
Yeah. Like, it was that gimmick ending didn't need. But, like, the movie wasn't bad. It just also wasn't flawless.
Sure.
And, like, it was the sequel to a flaw. Jurassic Park 2 is as bad as Ghostbusters 2. And Ghostbusters 2 is inherently not a bad movie. Ghostbusters 2 is totally watchable and, like, has really good moments,
yeah,
but it is following up a fucking perfect movie. Yeah. It doesn't stand a chance to be as good as Ghostbusters.
I think Ghostbusters 2 is still hands in way above Jurassic Park 2. I really do. I really do. Yeah, that's just my opinion.
I get it. Hey, I watch Ghostbusters 2 once a year. Yeah. I have watched Jurassic Park 2 5 times in my life.
Right.
So, like, I'm not going to argue that, but if I were to try to put my objective lens on it...
Which you can't, but yeah.
I can't, but if I were to try to, I think those two movies are pretty on par.
That's fair.
But Jurassic Park 3 is awful.
Jurassic Park 3 is Caddyshack 2.
Yes!
Maybe no, even...
Not even William H. Macy can save that piece of shit.
And that's harsh, because Caddyshack 2 is fucking terrible.
Yeah. Jurassic Park 3 is just very, very bad.
That's the William H. Macy one?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty bad. Very bad.
Yep. And then what's her name? Taya Leone?
It was bad enough that it killed the franchise for 2 decades.
That's right. Yep. That's impressive.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, we are so close to the next Ghostbusters.
We shouldn't talk about it.
Grant me the serenity.
Right?
Grant me the peace.
You were an Arrowverse guy.
Yeah.
You know, The Flash is pretty much wrapping up next season.
Oh, good. Good for them.
Yes. You know what's happening? I think whenever the
About
next...
About time they stop the next, beating that dead horse.
I'm still watching. I record it and I watch it when I can kind of thing. Uh-huh. Just because I feel like I'm...
I think that they did a great job. I love those characters. I only all walked those characters away. Are
fucking gone though. You know what I mean? Like that's
what's I do with Arrow too.
Well, Cisco leaves in this next episode. He's done. So he won't even be in the next season.
Hmm.
Caitlin, mm-hmm. Killer Frost, Sporadic probably gonna be gone next season. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, like
Barry and Iris's on-screen chemistry is not there anymore. I don't really? Know if in real life they don't like each other that's or something, but it's just not.
That's a shame because that was really the core of that made that show really right. good, right. and I loved them two together,
right?
As
right.
performers,
right? Yeah, this season's been all about. You know, it's not gonna spoil anything. They created.
I'm not gonna watch it right. anyway.
They created. You know, Barry lost his speed, so in order to do, you know, all this blah blah blah, they created the Speed Force. Organically, but in doing so, they also created these other forces that they look at as their children, which they're not, you know. But and so it was really just them arguing about how to be parents to not really. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of
weird.
It was just it wasn't a good storyline. It's not a good storyline.
Yeah.
But on top of that, anything that comes out now, I kind of look through a different lens. Cause like, okay, this was probably filmed during the COVID stuff, so a lot of things are shot different. Sure. People aren't in scenes together. So a lot of things come off colder.
Yeah.
When it's just...
Your options are more limited.
You say your lines. Okay, leave. Bring another guy in. You say your line. You know what I mean? And it's like... So you're not really talking to anybody when you're having these... When you're acting anymore. You know what I mean? You're kind of by yourself for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I look through it like that. But at the same time, it just does not play well with what they tried to do.
Well, I feel like The Flash was so great. Its first three seasons.
Totally agree.
And then...
There's no Harrison Wells.
Was 4 or 5 the last one I watched? The last one I watched was the one where their daughter comes back in time.
It's probably closer to 5, I would think.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5. And it was I stopped watching. It was one of those ones that was like...
I think this is 7 and next year is going to be 8 and that's it.
It was one where my kids were super young. Like, they're still very young, but they were super young and it was like... You know how that is when things just like hit the chopping block because you're parenting and and that kind of like was like, oh, all right, I'll watch it later. And then I never got around to it. And then once I didn't get around to it, I was like, oh, I don't really miss it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not coming back to it because it was starting to reach that point of diminishing returns already at that point.
I've still been recording.
But like if I didn't have young kids in that moment, I would still be on it probably. For sure.
Yeah.
I believe.
I still record Legends. But I got like 3 of them sitting there and I could care less to watch them. They're not good.
Yeah.
You know, having said that, they are the most comic book like series out there because it's basically every week is a new story.
And I feel like that's the only kind of show that can have a really long run.
Totally. You know, especially with a rotating cast for the most part. You know what I mean? So
like I think I look at you know, Arrow and Flash, as great as they were, outstayed their quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because any show that, like, builds to a big bad, like,
you can only do that so many times.
Right. It can only get bigger so many times before you're jumping the shark and it's silly.
That's right.
You know, whereas, like, a show like, you know, Supernatural or X-Files or Legends... That's real adventure of the week, and that's what you're there for.
In a different time frame, so you can jump around.
Like, fuck yeah, that can run for 15 years. Totally. Like, Supernatural's just ending after 15 years.
Right.
And I've jumped in and out of that show at times, and it's fun. Yep. You know, it's a monster of the week show.
Yep.
And like, that's as a child of the 90s, I appreciate a monster of the week. Like, I do think we've reached a point in entertainment where like, TV has gotten so good.
Mm-hmm.
That we forget the value of some, like, disposable TV. Like, everything doesn't need to be... I feel like whether it's TV or movies, everything's trying to be an Oscar winner now.
Right.
And, like, I love shit like that, but I'm also kind of on overload, and I like some shit that can just be some shit. You know, like, I fucking miss The X-Files. Let me just put on a show,
right.
And at most, I need 2 episodes of context.
Right. Yep.
Like I need this arc, but really
you need the intro.
Right. It's monster of the week.
Right.
I need that.
I'm with you.
Every now and again.
Yep.
Just like I need the fucking silly romantic comedy or slapstick comedy. Like the thing that's like I need Strange Wilderness.
Totally.
You know. Yeah. I need the movie that's like we know what we're here for.
Right.
We want to have some cheap laughs, have a good fucking time.
That's right.
And now, get out.
having said that, this is not what you wanted to do. That, I mean, Legends is still that. But the acting quality has gone down, if you ask me. You know, kind of the same thing The Flash suffers from. Just not... And maybe it's the writing, too. Maybe it's just not fun stories. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same type of story in different places, different times, with different characters. But it always seems kind of like, okay, well, oh, we wrecked this, or someone wrecked this in the timeline. Let's go there and fix it. And we'll, you know, so now we got to go to wherever and help the Hunchback of Notre Dame ring the bell, or, you know, some dumb shit like that type thing. It just doesn't, I don't know.
Maybe it's a worse version of Doctor Who.
It's exactly what it is, yes.
And Doctor Who's fucking sick. Doctor Who's, that's their form.
You're right.
That's my Monster of the Week show.
You're right.
Yep. That's my, like, with the, you get a couple of 2-3 episode arcs.
Right.
And there's usually an underlying big bad. But really, every week we're showing up in a new place in a new time.
Right.
Oh, let's rescue this person from that bad guy.
Right.
All
right.
Now we're going to get in our blue box and fuck off.
Right.
And we're going to the next
one. And of course, right now, if I want to see something like that, I go Black Mirror.
Ah,
But of course, that's, you know, you only got a little bit of that. You know, I would love to see something. Of course, you're never probably going to get another show on network TV that's 24 episodes a season.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, here's a new one every day, or here, you know, maybe two or back-to-back type thing. But, you know, it's really, when you think about it, Star Trek. And the Next Generation, you know, it's going to be a new adventure.
I love
you know the characters, but this is a new adventure every time.
Yeah,
and sometimes something might piggyback from whatever, but it's never
sure.
You can watch any episode and understand what's going on.
I love that model.
Yep, me too.
And because I feel like I'm at like critical mass for high quality storytelling, and that sounds really weird to say.
Yep,
but it's like. I can't love everything and be moved by everything because then none of it's moving.
Right.
And I feel like right now everything I watch is so, like, it's meaningful. Everything matters. And, like, that's great from a storyteller standpoint that we have all these storytellers that have these stories to tell. That's wonderful.
Yep. I'm with you.
But it's also just like, when I want to really dive in to sci-fi, and, like, feel something, I'll revisit Battlestar Galactica because it's wonderful. But more often than not, I want this one episode of The Next Generation or this one episode of X-Files as I'm falling asleep or as I'm doing the fucking dishes.
Right.
Like,
yep.
I'll do my rewatch of BSG once every 2 years, and I love it, but it's a goddamn commitment.
Yes,
I agree. And I like to just have a thing on to be a thing.
Yep.
Like, show me the things that I think are fucking neat. That, like, capture my imagination and show me heroism and show me cool things.
Yep.
And then move on.
Yep.
It's why I love Doctor Who.
That's right.
Every week, when it's running, fuck yeah. My new episode, I'm going to have fun with it. I put that shit on all the time in the background while I'm doing shit.
Absolutely. And you should.
Because it's just fun.
Absolutely should. Absolutely should. I don't think I have much else to chat about, man.
No, I think we're there. I mean, aside from
I got some Celtics playoffs going on. I got there's an AEW pay-per-view tonight, which I still love my wrestling. You know, and AEW doesn't have their own app yet. I just can't bring myself to go back to paying $50 for a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet. I'm not there again. You know.
Yeah.
When I can basically just, you know, keep hitting refresh on Twitter and get everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You know. So, what are you gonna do? I still love it. I love AEW right now more than I love probably WWE.
Yeah.
I said it.
Oof.
That's right.
Big words.
Big words. I know.
We did finish. I finished the Mighty Ducks show.
Oh, yes.
God damn, is it adorable.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's fucking fun. It's bad.
Right.
But it's fun.
Right.
No, it's not bad. It's for kids. And it, like, watching the finale is so, like, perfectly... like Mighty Ducks level cheesy. It was like, yes, man.
They play We Are the Champions.
This is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
So the Mighty Ducks are like, the Mighty Ducks are the Hawks.
They're the bullies, right? That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So this team is the Don't Bothers.
Okay.
But Gordon Bombay was also like removed from the Ducks. Gordon Bombay is coaching the Don't Bothers. And they make it to state championships. See, you know, the nobodies make it to states. And they're going to face the Ducks.
So it's the same story again.
The Ducks' best player has a hurt knee.
Mm.
She can't play.
Mm.
Brandon, and they only have 10 players. So if she can't play, the team forfeits. So you know what? They forfeit.
Yeah.
Because it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
So the Ducks win the trophy. And they're gloating. But Bombay, you didn't really win that. And you know what? All right, fine. You come to my ice rink tomorrow. We'll play an unsanctioned game. Because we can play with 9 players an unsanctioned game. So you come play tomorrow. We'll play without our best player. And on the line, if you beat us, we disappear. We never show up again. But if we beat you, we get the Mighty Ducks name. So of course they beat them.
Right, yeah.
They beat them because during the second intermission when they're losing, in true D2 fashion, Bombay shows up with the OG Ducks jerseys. With the OG Ducks names. The goalie's wearing Goldberg in 33. You know, the fucking captain's wearing Charlie Conway. The injured girl's wearing the Adam Banks number because, of course, she is.
Yeah.
And they win as the old school Ducks. So now next season, they get to be the Mighty Ducks.
Wow.
And it's fucking adorable.
That's cool. I like that.
It was a really refreshing every Friday for the last 10 weeks. Like, kids are coloring. I'm fucking doing dishes. Let me just have it on.
Right.
Watch it. It's fucking cute.
Nice.
I paid no attention to it.
Right.
But boy, did I have
still fun. Understood everything that happened.
Totally. Right. Totally. It was everything I needed it to be.
I like it.
And I hope that the kids today love it the way I loved Mighty Ducks. But that's what I got.
I got nothing else, my friend.
All right. Well, we will see you next week. We're going to do 2 weeks back to back. Holy cow.
See, a lot to ask.
Gonna need to take a Geritol.
Man, no kidding.
Try to keep up.
Whew. All right, I'll take my vitamins then.
Peace.